Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. And God, we ask you that it would remain here with us, Lord, and that you would continue the work that you want to do and that you have begun this morning in our hearts. Lord, use me and help me to know what direction you want to go. In Jesus' name, amen. So Ephesians 2, verse number 21, it says this: "In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." We are that building. I certainly hope that you were able to sense God's presence today. It was very real to me. I believe it was real to others. And this presence of God, God is always with us. You know that, right? The Bible tells us that He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us. So He does not leave us. He's always with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Bible assures us of that. And so that is never an argument. That is never something to be denied. The Holy Spirit is always with us. God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But there is a place where His presence seems to draw nearer to us, where it seems to become more manifest, as you might say. There is a place where His presence just becomes a more real entity to us. Even though He's always with us, sometimes we don't always feel Him in greater dimensions, because He is that same God. Remember the Israelites when they were approaching that mountain, and God's presence was there, and the Bible actually tells us that they trembled and they didn't even want to go near it. But there were other times that God was there and they were just fine. They were going throughout their day. But there are certain times when God just draws near and His presence is overwhelming. Remember, the Bible tells us that the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. This is the God that we serve. And this is the type of experience. We're not people that just goes after experience. We don't want to be flaky Christians. But there is a component of our spirituality where we do have an experience with God. That should not be denied either. Just because there are some excesses, and there are excesses out there, we don't want to fall into the trap of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We want to be people that house the presence of God in a very real way, as this verse tells us, that we are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And you could think of it this way, that God has designed various things. He has created us all, and He has created all things, and He's created different things for different purposes. A fish is created to swim. A bird is created to fly.
They are designed to do that. They have all the equipment. They have all the tools. They have everything that they need to do the thing that they were created for. A fish can't help but swim. A bird can't help but fly. And it says here that we are being built together. That's us. We are temples of God individually, but then there's also a corporate body where we are the church. We are the church. This building is not the church. I know I've said that many times. It certainly bears getting into our spirits that we are the church, whether we gather here or whether we gather in the park or whether we gather in someone's home. We're the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. The building doesn't matter. We thank God for it, but the building doesn't matter. There are people in third world countries. They're meeting in huts. They're meeting in basements. They're meeting anywhere they can
some places to hide. I remember when we were in the city, we met and we had a prayer meeting in a damp, dungeon-like basement, because that was the only place that we can go at the moment. But God was there, because we're the church, not the building. The church is designed to be a dwelling place of God. The church is designed to be the dwelling place of God. And so that means that God has uniquely created us to house His presence. Just as much as God designed a bird to fly and a fish to swim, God designed us to hold His presence. This is one of our purposes, to become a dwelling place of God in our spirits. Jesus came to release that Spirit to us. So now the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. He dwells in us, and it is our desire to be filled with His Spirit at all times. It is our desire to be filled with His Spirit at all times, to sense His presence in a very real and a very manifest way. It will happen if you seek Him in your private devotions. It will happen as we seek Him corporately as a body of Christ. There's one other verse I would like you to turn to. It's in Psalm 132. Psalm 132. And this is a prayer of David. I'm going to start in verse number 1. It says this: Lord, remember David in all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up into the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. There is that theme again of being a dwelling place. And even as far back as in the Old Testament, David was so hungry for God that he said, I'm not even going to sleep. I'm not even going to rest. I want God's presence, and I want it so bad that that's all that's going to consume me. I'm going to give up the normal things of life because I want the presence of God to be with me. I don't want it to be somewhere out there. I want it to be where I can go. I want it to be where I can reach it. I want it to be within my grasp. And so he said, I'm going to give up the normal things of life, and I'm going to set my goal to be to have a dwelling place of the presence of God. That commitment changed history. That commitment changed the way the face of the dwelling place of God is. It ended up in the actual temple. It ended up in the actual building of a temple. Because one man set it in his mind to say, I want something more. I know that God is big, and I know that I haven't experienced everything that He has for me. I know that He is huge, and I know that having Him near me will change things. If you read the first verse, it actually says that David is in his afflictions at this time. It says, Lord, remember David in his afflictions. He's saying, Lord, I got problems, I got things, I got issues. But he says, in all of those issues, I want your presence. In all my issues, I want your presence. In all my problems, he doesn't even list them. You can hear all of his issues in many of the other Psalms, because he talks about all the problems that he's having with people and situations and all kinds of things. They're throughout the Psalms. And here again, he says, I remember me in my afflictions, but I want your presence. Because in the presence of the Lord, hills melt like wax. In the presence of the Lord, hills melt like wax. And the Bible very often talks about hills and mountains as being troubles. I have this mountain before me. This mountain be removed. Remember, the Bible talks about mountains as problems, as issues. And it says in God's presence, hills melt like wax. Mountains melt like wax. Our issues seem like very small things when we dwell in God's presence. When we see Him for the greatness and His greatness and His glory and His majesty and His omnipotence. He can do anything and He can change any situation. All things that are impossible, the Bible says they're nothing for Him. Nothing is impossible with God. And so even in the middle of all of His afflictions, He says, I'm not going to give sleep to my eyes. I'm not going to give slumber to my eyelids until I find a place. Until I find a place. I got to find that place where I can meet with God and He can dwell and I can go there. And we are that temple. We are that temple now. We're the dwelling place of God. I think it's 1 Corinthians 6. We'll go there. 1 Corinthians 6. And it's such a common verse. Hopefully I'll remember where it is. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 19. It says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own?" We're the temple now. That temple that David desired to build. That temple that cost so much physical money, natural money, currency of the day, gold, filled with silver, filled with bronze, filled with cedar, everything expensive. The price was enormous. In today's dollar, it would be billions of dollars that were spent on that temple. That's us. That's you, that's me. We're the temple of God. And we were created to be the dwelling place of God. This is part of our purpose. It's not our only purpose. It's part of our purpose. And that is to be the dwelling place of God. Because you are the temple. You're the temple of God. You have the Holy of Holies, that place that no one can enter. That place that only the high priest can enter, and only once a year, and only after so many different washings and sacrifices and preparations, and his heart needed to be right, and all kinds of things. The list went on and on. All of those things, those we now have in us, accessible at all times. I read you that verse one of the last times, maybe it was the last time I read. We have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. We can get into the presence of God anytime we want. This is part of who we are, of what we are designed to do. A race car is designed to go fast. We are designed for our purpose as well. We are given all of the requirements to house the presence of God, the very presence that can melt like wax, that can melt the mountain like wax. Our bodies can contain it. Sometimes you might see a person shaking under the power of God. Is it any wonder that hills melt like wax? How can our bodies not shake under the presence of God? How can they?